Hey, let's pray. Will you pray for this? Pray for me.
Oh, wow, Lord, you know how I feel about prayer, and he's already put me on the spot. One of your kids has put me on the spot. Please, may your word just come through so loud and clear that we and help us understand that this there's oh, this is about you. This is not about us. And yet it is about us because we need some comfort. It's the times are tough and you know all the details. So use Miles in a powerful way. And we love you, we adore you, we worship you. We need more of you and less of us. In the precious name of your son Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, it's great to be back on the program again and bring you the Gospel Truth, the Sunday edition of Gospel Truth. And this apparently goes out across the globe. And certainly this week I was talking to some folks in Australia, and that's great. And we know there's people in India, and there's people in what's the other place? Africa. Yes, and there's people in the center of the universe, Mahara, County Londonderry. Well, it's great to be back, and I have a message today, and it's simply called The Secret Disciple Who Came Out of Hiding. I'll say it again. The Secret Disciple Who Came Out of Hiding. His name is Joseph of Arimathea, although we could also put in Nicodemus there. He came out of hiding. The Lord has just been crucified. And in John 20, verse 38, we're going to read a few verses. John 20, verse 38. No, John 19, verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, he besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission, gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus, and there also came Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes and about 100 pound weight. And then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb, a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. And there laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was near at hand. The secret disciple. He came out of hiding. There is such a thing as the secret disciple. There's two types, actually, that I have observed. Let me tell you the first type. This was back in the 1980s. I was pioneering a church in Wexford, County Wexford. Wexford Town, actually, County Wexford, Republic of Ireland. Now, back then, oh my, there were very, very few Christians that you could gather to a meeting. And it took a work of God to bring that church out of nothing, and he did that. But when we were publishing the good news of Jesus at every turnaround, and I encountered a man, and he believed everything I said. He was an accountant in the town, a well-known guy. And he had been saved since the 1950s. He'd got saved over in England under, I think, Martin Lloyd-Jones. And he had books, all kinds of books on gospel, and, you know, on the Reformation and on just wonderful, the doctrines of grace, everything. But he let nobody know. He wouldn't become public with it. His wife told him never to say a word outside because it would have cost, in those days, it would have cost him his living. And so he shut up and he never told a soul. He wouldn't come to any of our meetings. Anytime I met him, it was one-on-one in person. He was secretive. No public stand. No outward profession of faith to anyone. He was a secret disciple. Are you like that? Or do you tell people about Jesus? Well, remember I said there were two types of secret disciples that I have encountered. And there's the common type, the second type. There's a people who they believe about Jesus. They know that they need to be saved. They might go to a church or whatever. They're not hiding. But they'll tell no one that they trust in Christ and Christ alone. Secret disciples. Joseph of Arimathea was a secret disciple. And we're going to look at him today. And I hope you get encouraged to destroy your secrecy. Do you know, folks, look, we have a king who was not elected. He is the king of all kings, and he's in charge. His name is Jesus, and he calls us to serve and to follow him and to focus on him. Otherwise, we're going to be disappointed. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look on his wonderful face. Yeah. Joseph of Arimathea was a secret disciple. A secret disciple. And he's mentioned in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Yeah, he gets a big mention, but he was a secret disciple. And so in this message, I want to expose the error and the dangers of secret discipleship and tell you how to get rid of it. Secrecy will destroy your discipleship. And discipleship to Christ will destroy your secrecy. Secrecy will destroy your discipleship to Christ. But discipleship to Christ will destroy your secrecy. And so I want to ask three questions about this man, Joseph of Arimathea. Number one, why was he a secret disciple? And number two, what did he lose by being a secret disciple? And number three, what made him come out of hiding? Well, number one, why was he a secret disciple? Well, we read in Mark 15, verse 43, that he was an honorable counselor. Look, that means he's a member of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin were 70 men who were at the apex of the nation's religious life. He was one of the elite. Oh yeah, he was one of the elite. And in verse 38, we read it, he was a secret disciple for fear of the Jews. Look, it's not as if the Jews would have taken him and done him violence or beaten him up or hurt him or anything like that. It's that he feared what they would say and how they would react. He was afraid of their attitude towards him. Was he a physical coward? No, not at all. Was he a moral coward? Yeah. You know, there are some people who can't bear being laughed at. There are some people who can't bear being viewed with scorn. And rather than enjoy that or put up with that, they choose to keep quiet about their convictions. Anybody listening to me who's like that? Oh, here's another thing that Joseph wouldn't break with the Jews, because he was a temple devotee. And there was a great deal of pride attached to this. There was a great deal of prestige attached to this. Oh, where do you worship? Here I worship in the temple. See, the temple had a formal, dignified format in its service, and that undoubtedly meant a lot to Joseph of Arimathea. Maybe it means a lot to some listeners. You like all the bells and smells, and even though the gospel isn't being preached here, you want to be a part of all that. You don't want to be breaking with that. You don't want to be brought into disrepute. I mean, was Joseph of Arimathea expected to exchange all his temple worship and pomp and ceremony for an itinerant carpenter preacher? A preacher who had never been ordained? A preacher not trained at the feet of the rabbi? A preacher not licensed to preach? A preacher not recognized by the ecclesiastical structures of his day? Was he expected to turn his back on his position of honorable counselor? Huh? Oh, no, a bit too much of an ask there. Look at the Nazarene. Sure, he's only got a handful of followers. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's true that at times he's got big crowds, great tribe, but they all disappear. It all fluctuates. At the back of it all, he's got a handful of followers. And, you know, most of them are semi-illiterate. Joseph of Arimathea, the honorable counselor, member of the Sanhedrin, was he expected to identify with this roaming band of fishermen led by a carpenter of Nazareth? Oh, this weighed very heavily on him. And he opted in favor of being a secret disciple. Inwardly, he admired the Nazarene. Inwardly, he believed the Nazarene. Are you like that? Inwardly, he appreciated the Nazarene. But Joseph just couldn't let go of all this other stuff. And there's some people are like him today. Oh, listen, come out and follow the master. He'll never fail. He'll never be unelected. Your Jesus will never be unelected. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Oh, yes. But Joseph couldn't let go of all that stuff. And there's lots of people like that today. And they believe the message of grace, free grace. But they'd never tell anybody. Oh, no, too much to lose. If you stand up for Jesus, you've too much to lose. Yeah. You do. Are you like that? Are you scared of what people think? Do you know, before I was saved back in 1972. That makes me just a wee fella. But I remember sitting drinking in a pub in Mahara. Pub called McMaster's, still here to this day. We're still there to this day. And the Elam Pentecostal Church would come stand outside the window and do an open air. And oh my goodness, they started preaching Christ and everything, and I would come under conviction. And then all our group would want to get change pubs, and I wouldn't change pubs. I said, no, we'll stay here for a while, because the reason was I didn't want to walk into the midst of those Christians. I didn't want to be seen with them. I knew what they were talking about, and I agreed with them, but I didn't want to take my stand with them. Oh, no. Well, what else can we talk about? What else can we say about Joseph? Well, in Matthew 27, verse 57, Matthew calls him a rich man. A rich man. And Matthew ought to know, for he was a tax collector, and he'd seen the books, and he knew that Joseph of Arimathea was a wealthy man, a wealthy man. He was from Arimathea. He supposedly dominated the town of Arimathea. In the town of Arimathea, there was a thriving linen industry, and Joseph was wealthy. And wealth, that's the passport to the upper echelons of society. And Joseph moved in high society. He was anxious to have the approval of men. He was concerned to have the benediction of men. So these are two reasons, his religion and his social affliction, they were enough to prevent him coming out and nailing his colors to the mast and taking his stand with Jesus. And that is a tragedy. He was wealthy and influential, but he didn't put his influence to advance the cause of Christ. Oh, I used to know a guy years ago when I lived in Vegas, and I would talk to him about this very thing. He was a wealthy, wealthy man, loved the Lord, but he wouldn't use his influence to extend the kingdom. He wouldn't do it. He was another secret disciple. Secret disciple. Yeah, he was a disciple, but secretly. It mattered too much what people thought and what people said. Look, what odds about what people say? And who cares about the applause of man? I think we should be looking for the day. Looking for the day when we're able to look into the kind and tender face of the Lord Jesus Christ and tell him we love him. Listen, will you not stand for him now? Will you not put him first now? Will you not love him first now? What odds about what people say? They may say you're radical. So what? So what? Well, what did Joseph of Arimathea lose by being a secret disciple? Oh boy, he lost so much. Well, what did he lose, preacher? Well, first of all, he lost the opportunity of walking with Jesus like the other 12. Oh yeah, he got an occasional glimpse of the Lord, of the Master, as he stood perhaps at the edge of the crowd. But for 3.5 years, the 12 had the Savior continually in view. They beheld his marvelous countenance, and well, that was forfeited by Joseph because of his cowardice. He never got to understand the Lord's teachings in those 3.5 years. Why? Because he was a secret disciple. He didn't understand the depth of Christ's teachings. Did you know that Jesus taught in parables? Yeah. Those were not illustrations to let the light in. He taught in parables because parables weeded out who was hungry and who wasn't. And if Joseph had been at the edge of a crowd and Jesus speaking in parables, Joseph wouldn't have understood what it meant. The disciples themselves didn't understand it until afterwards. Jesus would have his meeting, and then afterwards he'd have another meeting with his disciples. And they said, what did that mean? And Jesus would tell them what it meant. Yeah. Well, Joseph never got that. Only those who were close to Jesus, only those identified with him, got to know the meaning of what was going on. No secret disciple ever got to hear these things. And Joseph of Arimathea missed out. And if you are a secret disciple, you are missing out. Yeah, you are missing out. There's a price to pay for secret discipleship. Secret discipleship doesn't see the Master clearly. Secret disciples don't get to understand the depth of Christ's teaching. And you know what? I was thinking about this. Joseph of Arimathea lost involvement with Christ's prayer life. That was probably the most grievous loss of all. Oh, the thing that astonished his followers most about their Savior was what? His miracles. No! His preaching. No! The thing that astonished his followers most about their Savior was his prayer life. I mean, regularly he withdrew at dusk and had communion with the Father all night. And often the disciples were admitted into these prayer sessions and they listened to history's greatest prayer warrior pour out his soul in devotion, unto the Father. And one time when they could bear it no longer, seeing the vast difference between their tiny little meaningless prayer life and the marvelous prayer life of the Savior, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." They didn't say, "Lord, teach us to preach." I mean, they could have, but no, no, no. They didn't say, "Lord, teach us how to turn water into wine. Oh, Lord, teach us that one about walking on the water. Teach us how to do that." No, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Prayer is really where it's at. And they stood in awe of him because of his prayer life. And never did he loom larger than when he bowed his knee and in their hearing and sight said, "Holy Father, I pray." Joseph of Arimathea was excluded from all that, not by the Savior, but by his own decision to be a secret disciple. Secret disciples are the losers. And if you don't pin your colors to the mast, you are going to be such a loser. You are being such a loser. You know, there's a whole lot to do with growth in this Christian life. And if there wasn't such a thing as growth and growing in grace and getting to know the Lord Jesus and getting to enjoy his company and his presence, if there was nothing like that involved in the Christian life, if all there was a matter of believing and going to heaven, getting saved and going to heaven, two things. Well, if that's all there is, then all God needs is two preachers, one to save you and the other to shoot you. I mean, if all there is getting saved and going to heaven, two preachers, all you need. Yeah. Oh, secret disciples are missing out because there's this growth in grace that we're called into between when we get saved until the Lord comes back. Oh, yeah. And, beloved, nail your colors to the mast. Nail, let there be nobody in your family or your friends or your workplace. Let there be no, what's the word? Misunderstanding that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's ask, what made Joseph change? What made him move? Are you listening? When the crucifixion had taken place, he marched in to see Pilate, and he boldly asked for the body of the Lord Jesus. A holy boldness had taken over his soul. And he took the body and lovingly wrapped it and laid it in his own tomb. And he didn't care anymore about the wrath of the Jews. He didn't care what the fellows down at the Sanhedrin were going to say to him. He was doing what his heart told him and what marching armies couldn't prevent him from doing. So what made him do it? He took his linen. Listen, he took his linen. Where'd he get it? He probably had a linen factory. He took his linen and wrapped it around the corpse of the Lord Jesus and put it in his own hand-hewn tomb. And here we see him throwing his regard for prestige to the wind. And here he takes the body of Christ and he takes a publicly, and Jesus was an executed criminal, and so Joseph is really throwing away his secrecy when he identifies with Jesus and personally lays him in his own custom craft grave. So what made him do it? Well, he just disregarded Pilate's wrath. You know, Pilate was as sore as a boil. Yeah, He had been inveigled and trapped. And, you know, his own wife had come and said, don't have anything to do with that just man. But the Pharisees, Jewish leaders, blackmailed him, basically. And I bet Pilate was feeling angry, and he was no mood to give away favors. But this mattered not to Joseph of Arimathea, and in he walks boldly and asks for the body of the Lord Jesus. Boy, when he lost his fear, he lost his fear. When he came out of hiding, he really came out. So what made him do it? Well, I'll tell you something. What made him do it? It wasn't the life of Jesus. Now, that was a wonderful life. Never been a life like it. But it wasn't the life of Jesus that brought him out of secrecy. He'd seen that. It wasn't the miracles. I mean, they're great miracles. Raising the dead, healing. Who did that? Jesus healed and raised the dead, turned the water into wine. But these miracles didn't move him to come out of secrecy. And it wasn't the teaching of Jesus. I mean, what little snatches he had heard, he cherished, no doubt he cherished. But they weren't enough to make him come out of hiding. So I'll tell you what it was. There's one thing, and one thing only. When he looked at the mutilated body of the young Prince of Glory, when he looked at the nail-pierced hands of the sinner's substitute, when he looked at the thorn-crowned brow of the Lord of Life, it broke his heart. He said, I can no longer be a secret disciple. I can no longer stand in the shadows. I must take my stand for him. But there'll be a cost, Joseph. What? Forget about the cost. I don't care. Let me tell you. Are you listening? If the cross won't make you move, if the cross of the dying, showing you the dying love of the Lord Jesus, won't make you move, nothing will. Nothing will bring you out. I've heard people say, oh, if my loved one gets healed, I'll go everywhere talking about the Lord Jesus, talking about the love of the Lord Jesus. Well, that's nice, but you know what Jesus wants to hear? He wants to hear, if my loved one isn't healed, I'll go everywhere telling everyone about the lovely, wonderful love of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. So what moved Joseph of Arimathea? What made him come out of secrecy? Well, standing at the top of the windy Golgotha, he saw the man he most admired being wounded for his transgressions, being bruised for his iniquity. And it's time for all secret disciples to come out of hiding, Joseph. Look at Jesus publicly executed, shamefully hanging there. No clothes. They wouldn't give him the dignity of having clothes. Being wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. Jesus, what's he think about it? Well, I am going to say something, but it's in the scripture and it's not pleasant. Mark 8:38. Jesus laid it on the line and he said, if you are ashamed of me before man, I'll be ashamed of you at my coming. Now, if you confess me, I'll confess you. I don't like that. I mean, I try to. I try, but Jesus is Lord. He's the king. So come on now, Joseph. Joseph, come on, make the choice. What are you going to do? What are you going to have to? Come on. Jesus, shall it ever be. A mortal man ashamed of thee whom angels praise, whose glory shines through endless days. Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend on whom my hopes of heaven depend. No, when I blush, this be all my shame that I no more revere his name. Oh, may God forgive you for the almost unpardonable sin of being ashamed of Jesus. Please don't be ashamed of him. He's wonderful. Please don't be ashamed of him. Take your stand. Do your family know you're a Christian? Take your stand. You don't have to become preachy or anything. Just let them know you're trusting Christ alone. And then let others know. Pray for others that they'd get saved and pray. Leave little tracts around or get books for people. We all should be working for the glory of God. And it's enjoyable. This is not law I'm preaching. I'm trying to stay away from law and tell you about the love of the Lord. Every secret disciple. Hey, did you know this? Every secret disciple has something which Jesus will use. On that day, he'd eat at linen. The day they crucified him, as I said, he was stark naked. He needed linen to be buried in, wrapped in. Who had the linen? Joseph of Arimathea. The secret disciple had the linen. Now, the soldiers could have just as easily taken him down and thrown him into a pauper's grave. So Jesus, to avoid that, needed a tomb that day. And Joseph, the secret disciple, he had it. Oh, the secret disciple came out of hiding. He had things that the Lord needed. Oh, yeah, every secret disciple has something the Lord wants. Something which you can't give the Lord secretly. Joseph of Arimathea couldn't have given the linen secretly. He couldn't have given the tomb secretly. He had to come out of hiding. So mark it down. You can't serve. We can't serve the Lord secretly. Every secret disciple has something the Lord will use, something the Lord wants, humanly speaking, that is. Joseph of Arimathea had the linen and the tomb. The 12 apostles didn't have it, or the 11 apostles didn't have it too. They were broke. They didn't have linen. They were broke. They were penniless. They didn't have anything. But the secret disciple had it, and he comes out of hiding and uses it in the service of the Lord. Every secret disciple has something which no other disciple can supply, and if you don't get it, or you don't give it, will the master get it? If Joseph hadn't given linen, the tomb, the Savior's body would have been thrown ignominiously into a pauper's grave or thrown into the rubbish heap. Oh, Brother Miles, you bother me. You bother me. I get your point about secret discipleship and I'm saved. But I don't tell anybody about it. You bother me, preacher. Well, it seems that if you don't allow that I can secretly witness for the Lord with my life. Come on, brother, I can witness with the Lord with my life. I don't have to say anything. Just my life says it all. Well, are you ready for the truth? Your good life, matched by your silent lips, only tells people how good you are. But we want to let them know how good Jesus is. And the only way to tell them is about how good Jesus is to speak up. Jesus doesn't want anybody to bury him today. He wants somebody to proclaim him today. proclaim that he has died and he's risen from the grave and he's alive. And yes, proclaim that we don't have to vote for him. We never will have to vote for him because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever. And he's in charge and he's coming back and he will fix this earth. Somebody say amen. So come out of the shadows of anonymity and throw off the wretched cloak of cowardice and get wise to the devil's lies that you can do a good job in secrecy. Nail your colors to the mask. You'll never regret a moment of your life for doing that. And that is the gospel truth.